Reaction tonight on social media after President Trump announced plans to have a UFC fight on the White House lawn. He says it will be part of a series of events to mark America's 250th anniversary next year.
America, America.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
Steve, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's lovely.
Lisa, if I had a dollar for every time I leave something unfinished.
Oh. Are you going to finish?
That's all I got. That's okay. It. How you doing?
I'm okay.
You caught
me in a weird... You always catch me in a weird mood, but I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. I've got people who like, I just found out some friends of mine are moving, and I'm kind of bummed about that.
Yeah.
And then my niece left for college clear across the universe, it feels like, last week. So I'm feeling like...
abandoned.
I feel abandoned and lonely, and I need some love.
All right. Well, it's coming your way.
All right. Thank you.
It will be postage due, however, when it arrives.
Do not worry. I will pay you guys to let me visit.
Okay.
I will.
I hope you do. So let's get into it here. But if I'm watching television and I go by the 700 Club or any of these ministry channels, I'll stop and watch. There's something about it that gets, especially if you got a fire and brimstone televangelist on there.
Yeah.
And because I'm fascinated by that, and how are you extracting money from people?
Oh,
I think we talked about this before. I believe I could have done that.
Yes.
I say
yes,
no. I can get out there and ham it up and rake in millions. Except my damn conscience is the only thing keeping me from doing it.
Yeah,
this
stupid ethics thing. That is getting in the way of a lot of things because I'm with you there. We could, you know, I definitely, you would have, people would be throwing cash at you while you were speaking.
But how could you feel good about it? I don't know how these guys do it.
I think money makes you feel, I think that'll do the job. I think if
you're encouraging me to do this.
Yes. I think if they throw enough money at you, you're going to feel good. And you're going to, that's the whole point of having people throw money at you.
Well, one guy just dropped out, so that leaves an opening for me.
Exactly.
One of my favorites, Jimmy Swaggart has checked out, age of 90. He was fire and brimstone with just a dollop of tapioca pudding in there, too, I think. But at its peak, the Jimmy Swaggart Worldwide Ministries was on in more than 140 countries around the world.
Was it really?
There are 196 countries in the world, and he was in most all.
Oh, my gosh.
It's huge. Well, here's a little of Jimmy doing his thing.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, you tell him again, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And then everything was swinging along great. He was basically telling people, and he was calling out guys like Jim Baker, who was another televangelist, for his lack of morality. He always spoke about people who were, cheating on their wives and all of that. And then In 1987, guess what?
What?
There was a photo that got out, and he was entering a motel with a woman.
What?
Yes, and he felt terrible about it, of course.
I bet he did.
When he finally came back on the air, after being suspended for a while, his mea culpa is very famous.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
Well, then, a few years later, Lisa, he gets pulled over in the company of a hooker. And because he was driving erratically, and so the cops pulled him over, and there was a hooker in the car with him. His excuse? He was trying to hide his porno magazines under his car seat. And that's why he was swerving.
It's just, it's hilarious. It's
kinda,
so,
it kind of is.
It's so absurd and ridiculous. And I just, I don't know. And yet people still forgive them. And
when he made that confession, Lisa, people were falling down, crying. They were so upset for him. Yeah. And they said, "We're still with you, man."
Yeah, it's okay. I have to tell you a quick story.
I'll just finish up with him. He was the cousin of Jerry Lee Lewis.
Red balls of fire.
Yeah, that guy was way better because he dated a 13-year-old, didn't he?
Yeah, but guess what?
What?
Jimmy Swaggart, his first wife was 15 years old and he was 17. So who's talking? And he was also a cousin of Mickey Gilley, the country artist.
Oh, I didn't know that. How old was Mickey's wife? Was she 12?
She was 9, almost 10.
I know I'm not your first love.
Please, guys.
Now, you were going to tell a story.
Well, it's you know, not uncommon to have what we would call Bible thumpers doing exactly the opposite of what they're thumping at you for.
Yeah. No, I know.
And that is a big bone of contention for a lot of folks like me who are, I might not be religious or follow the word of God, but my moral compass does not, point due north all the time. But it is interesting to me how that sort of those teachings and those judgments are just completely, the hypocrisy is stunning to me. And it's going on, it's probably always been going on. But I had somebody tell me something that might explain why these people who adhere to these teachings sin. And I don't know if this is going to be a great example or a great explanation, but I was told.
I'll let you know.
I was told that it's not that you don't sin. It's just that if you accept Jesus into your life, that you now don't have to, and I'm quoting, you don't have to feel badly about sinning. Does that make sense? So it's like,
no,
they get a free pass. Like they're like, well, it's not like you're not going to sin, but if you believe in Jesus, then you don't have to feel badly about the sin, let Jesus take all
that. 'Cause he knows you're a human and you have your frailties.
Right. So it doesn't. It's upsetting because it's like, well, wait a minute. So that means you just get to go do whatever you want and you're absolved of all of that? That doesn't seem like a very fair game. That doesn't seem fair at all.
I was always thought, they have a thing called the last rites in the Catholic Church. And I grew up Catholic. And to me, it always said the last rites. I'm sorry, Father, for everything I've ever done in my life. Okay, you're fine. You can go to heaven now. It's like you're getting... You're getting in at the last minute there. You can be an utter reprobate, but if you ask for forgiveness right at the end, right before you're about to kick off, then all's forgotten, all's forgiven.
Yeah.
Go say hi to St. Peter for me, would you?
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Well, then why doesn't everybody just wait till the last minute?
Well, what if you're killed in a car wreck or, a meteorite hit you and you don't have time to do that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Anyway, it's all so silly and I just, so you could still, Pat, if you want to go make some money off of this, because people will give you dollar bills to.
And the only reason I do it, Lisa, is so we can better finance this fine podcast. That'd be my only motivation.
Well, do you want to have a little, like a little religious segment of our podcast to maybe start to pull some dollars in that way? Would you like to?
We'll see. We'll see about that. That might work. We have had some very generous donors, so don't get us wrong. But, you know, it wouldn't be. I really would love to see Athens, Greece. I've been thinking about it a lot, and God, it'd be great to go there.
Well, hold on. I think God.
But I don't have plane fare.
I think God wants you to go to Athens, Greece. So, so that's another reason why people should donate. Because,
I've got tickets to Greece right here, right in front of me. Oh, wait, that's the musical.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, regardless, I this is a stretch, but I do think it'd be possible to draw a line between these evangelists, televangelists, and what you just talked about. Like, you can do what you want; you don't need to feel bad. To the White House. I mean, I think things are now, anything goes now, you know, you don't need to be sorry. Yeah. In fact, there are people that feel like the current president is divine somehow, has been anointed by Jesus to come and they'll say, they're not always make perfect choices in their lives, but they come in odd packages. But this guy, he's Jesus on earth. And there are people that believe that. To me, I don't get it because he looks nothing like him. Doesn't even have a beard. So I don't.
Right. All right. Well, so long, Jimmy Falwell or
Jimmy
whatever
Swaggart.
Your name is.
Jimmy
Swaggart. And I wonder what kind of a conversation he's having with the good Lord right about now.
Yeah, Jimmy. Get over here. Get over here. What?
I said I'm sorry.
Get over here. Get over
sit
here.
Sit down and be quiet and give me all that money.
Give me 20 push-ups right now.
I don't know how to do it. Get down there. I'm telling you.
All right, and you remember, you know this song. You know this music. It is the Mission Impossible theme.
Of course.
And the man who wrote it, created it, produced it, composed it, Lilo Schifrin, died at the age of 93, I should say. That was my favorite show in its time, Mission Impossible, a TV show. I loved it. And the theme was always so thrilling to me.
And some what's so sad is that everybody knows that song. They know the tune. They can place it. But he didn't get fame from it. He's not a household name. That's what's such a shame is that you can have a song that everybody knows and nobody knows who the hell you are. That doesn't seem fair.
You know how you make yourself a household name?
How?
By changing your name. That's how.
What are you talking about?
Well, I see, like, say my name was Pat Toilet.
Was it?
No, I'll just say. I mean, you could make yourself into a household name by taking one.
I see what you're saying.
You do?
No, I have no idea. I'm just going to say I see what you're saying.
Some people, when they hear this Mission Impossible theme, they hear a hint of this song by Dave Brubeck, Take Five. Yeah, or some people hear Morse code in there, you know, like dash, dash, dot, dot. But Lilo Schifrin,
Jerry.
He also wrote music for a lot of movies, and he was nominated for an Academy Award for 6 of them, but he never won an Academy Award for them. But maybe my all-time favorite movie, or at least in my top 5, Cool Hand Luke. He wrote the theme to that.
Yeah.
Now, remember Bullet? Did you ever see that movie with Steve McQueen?
I've heard of it, but I don't think I did. I wasn't into guy movies like that. Never mind. Just
all right.
No.
All right.
The answer is no.
Yeah. Well, there's a 10-minute car chase scene through the streets of San Francisco, up and down hills, and It's crazy. It's a thrilling. It still holds up. And they said, we want you to write some music for this 10-minute car chase. And so what Lalo Schifrin came back with was nothing. He said, you don't need any music. Sometimes no music is the best music.
And
if you watch that car chase, there is no music. It's just the crazy cars jumping and chasing each other. Really cool. Okay, and then another guy, here's a singer-songwriter at the age of 82 has checked out, Lou Christie.
No, who's that?
You would know his songs.
That's what I'm saying.
This is one of them, Lightning Strikes. And I'm gonna make you mine.
Every trick in the book, with every step that you take, everywhere that you look, just look.
And Rhapsody in the Rain.
Baby, the raindrops play for me.
Lou Christie, 82.
Because on our first date, we were making out.
Okay, here's one I know you do know, and I bet you had pictures of him up in your walls. In your little bedroom at home. Bobby Sherman.
Yeah, I know you, Bobby Sherman.
I don't know. Easy come, easy go.
81 years old. Hard to believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a recurring cover boy on Tiger Beat.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, he was on Tiger Beat cover. He and David Cassidy and Donny Osmond and all those cute
I love
boys.
Tiger Beat. Yeah, I've saved every Tiger Beat magazine that I... Oh, they're in a box around here somewhere.
You could probably get a lot of money if you weren't joking around like that. You wouldn't need to be an evangelist. You probably have a gold mine right there.
Stupid me. Bobby Sherman first became noticed on a TV show called Here Come the Brides.
Oh, that's right.
And it was set in Seattle. It was around the late 1800s, I think, something like that. And the show is based on Seven Brides for Seven Brothers sort of idea that these guys are all out here in Seattle. They're logging, they're doing, working in the shipyards, but they don't have any women in Seattle. And so that's the purpose of they bring all these eligible women into town and frivolity ensues from there. But Bobby had a couple of big hits, Little Woman and Julie, Do You Love Me?
Julie, 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 do you love me?
And one more, but you won't like this one because it's a sports guy. But
wait, can you stop right there? Why would you make a declaration like you? It was very... You won't like it because he's a sports guy. What does that mean?
Well, it means are you going to watch the Mariners play tonight on TV? No.
I mean, you're not,
do you watch Seahawks?
No.
No. Do you watch Championship Pickleball on ESPN? No, you don't. You're not into that stuff. I know. So you won't even know his name.
Okay. Well, it doesn't mean I won't like him. He's probably very nice. Who was it?
He was very, very nice. Dave Parker.
Yeah, see, I like Dave.
You don't know who that is.
I don't know who it is.
No, of course you don't. He played for the Pittsburgh Pirates primarily. He was 74 years old, by the way, when he passed away.
I'm sorry, was that football or baseball?
That's baseball. Yeah,
okay.
That's fair question. One it was on the winning World Series team in 1979. And in that same year, I had just moved to Seattle. And somebody gave me tickets to the All-Star Game, which was held that year in the Kingdome, 1979. And he threw a guy out at the plate from his post there in right field. The guy had a gun for an arm. Mm-hmm. And I'm not using that as a simile. I mean, he literally had a gun for an arm. And I think somebody should have stopped him, but they never did.
Line drive, right field. We may have a play at the plate.
What a throw by Dave Parker, who continues to show why
So there's my list.
So I have to tell you, I kind of am into sports a little bit. I'm taking some umbrage with your declaration.
All right.
There. One of the things that I really like and that got me out of this sort of sad mood I've been in the last 12 years was the annual T-Rex.
Hot dog eating championship?
No. Okay. No. The annual T-Rex race that's held at Emerald Downs here in Seattle, in the Seattle area. I don't know if you've ever watched these people get into these inflatable dinosaur costumes. And here's a little clip of them going out of the gate here.
T-Rexes away, and they come flying down the stretch of the championship from the outside. Four, five T-Rexes hitting the wire.
Where did you have that audio speaker? Was it in the toilet?
I know it's not very good audio. Maybe you could replace it, but I cannot stop laughing watching these. There were like 300 people in this inflatable dinosaur costume race, and they do it every single year. It is hilarious. If you are in a bad mood, go look at that video clip, and you will not be able to stop laughing. It's hilarious. There was a guy from Houston who won it this year, just so you know. Andrew Stuber Tyrannosaurus in this year's race.
Anybody out there, anybody who's a fan of that sport knows Andy Stuber. Yeah.
And if you missed it, they're going to actually put it on ESPN this summer. So see there, I do like sports, Pat.
You know what you'd like, Lisa?
What?
Is Banana Ball. Have you heard of that?
The Banana Ball. No, but I'm intrigued.
They play baseball, but it's a barnstorming sort of exhibition league. It's out of Savannah, Georgia. They play most of their games right there at a stadium in Savannah. They have five teams: the Savannah Bananas, the Party Animals, the Firefighters, Texas Tailgaters, and the Visitors, who are kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters touring team, the Washington Generals, who the Globetrotters always beat. Yeah, they were set up to always lose to the Globetrotters. I remember we were going to do a bit for a sketch comedy show one time, and the idea was that it was halftime of the Harlem Globetrotters and Washington Generals game. Generals were losing by 27 points, as usual. So this is halftime, and the coach of the Generals is talking to his players, and he's saying, "Come on, you guys. We know what this team does. They do the same thing all the time. You never see it coming. Larry, you know he's got the ball hidden under his shirt. You know that. You should know that by now. And you, there's confetti in that bucket. And he throws it at you, and you think it's going to be water, and it's confetti, and you fall for it every time. Come on, guys. Think out there." It's going to be some dumb bit like that. But the Savannah Bananas, they just have fun with baseball. They're very goofy. One of their players wear stilts. And if they hit the ball, they run down to first on stilts. Okay. It's much more crazy stuff than that. But it is wildly entertaining. It's a big
hit. I am in. No, Where do I go? Where do I get tickets?
They're on ESPN a lot.
I don't want to watch it on the television. I want to see it in person.
Well, you'd have to go to Savannah, Georgia for that.
Really? So yeah. They don't have Banana Ball? Is it called? What's it called? Banana Ball?
Banana Ball.
Facing 7-year Banana Cowboy Kyle Lewis, who is bringing in Cox and Olsen to the mound. Looks like Listy is going to get a taste of some Banana Ball trickery. What you doing when you go? Nothing wrong being proud. Who's got the ball? Jackson Olsen.
Here are the Banana Ball rules. I won't go on too long with this, but games are won by points instead of runs, so the team that scores the most runs in an inning gets 1 point, except in the final inning where every run counts as 1 point. I know it's complicated.
Oh.
There's a two-hour time limit to the game, too.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, people will like that. Batters cannot step out of the batter's box. If you do, that'll be an automatic strike. You can't bunt. They'll eject you if you try to bunt. Batters can attempt to steal first base. Steal first base. So you can be at bat and then suddenly drop your bat and run to first. Steal it.
I love that.
And there's a lot of other fun rules, but it's great. You'd love it.
I love stuff like that. And things, it just things like, do they like release a couple of goats out on the field every once in a while if something happens? I mean, that sort of stuff is fun.
All you have to do is put a banana in your ear.
A banana in my ear?
A banana in your ear.
I went to, this is not a great transition. I went to a funeral last week. It was my cousin. She was 82. Her name was Rose. She's a wonderful lady. And her daughter said she wondered if you would say a few words at her funeral. So I said, well, let me talk to my agent and I'll get back to you.
Oh, now stop it.
I said at the beginning, my name is Pat Cashman. I am the cousin of Rose here. Rose was born on September 16th, 1942. I was born on September 16th, some years later. A coincidence. My dad was named Pat Cashman too, just like me. Another coincidence. Rose, who we are memorializing today, her mother was named Rose. Another coincidence. And it something like that. And I talked about how I spoiled her birthday party when I was born, because then all of the attention was on this newborn. But she was just a really cool lady. Somebody told me a story, though, that they were out at their ranch. This family had a ranch about 70 miles from where I'm sitting. And one day, one of the boys heard screaming coming from the family house. And he knew that his sister, Rose, was up there by herself. Screaming was getting louder and louder. He ran up there thinking, oh, my God, she chopped her foot off with an axe or something. He runs in, goes into the bathroom finally, and there she is standing on as high as she can on the toilet, and there's a mouse in the room. She was terrified of mice. When she read the book of Mice and Men, she skipped the mice part. She would never go to Disneyland because she was afraid Mickey might show up. She even wouldn't even use a computer because it had a mouse. Yeah, that's how scared of mice she was. So then afterwards, they have a little get-together at her house and refreshments and people talking about her and people who don't see each other, except at occasions like this, unfortunately. And I started talking to this guy I didn't know, and he said that turned out he was, I said, so where were you from? He said, well, I was in Seattle for a while, like where you were. I said, oh, really? What were you doing in Seattle? He said, I played football. I said, for who? The Seahawks. You were a Seahawk? Yeah, for about two seasons. I jumped around from other team to team, you know, and so I started rattling off names from that era, and he knew them all and was still in touch with some of them. And then another guy comes up and says, hey, let's say his name's Charlie. Hey, Charlie, show Pat your foot. He said, no, I don't really want to. No, show him your foot. It's crazy. So the guy starts taking his shoe off and then his sock.
What?
And I think I'm going to see a foot with like six toes or something like that. He lifts his foot up and he has no toes. And so the guy who asked him to show the foot said, no, no, no. I didn't mean that foot. I meant the other foot.
Wait.
I said, you know what? I don't want to see the other foot. If this is the wrong foot that he's showing me now, I don't want to see the one you were talking about.
Where did his toes go?
I didn't even ask him. I was
Pat, for God's sake, I can't leave you alone.
Well, what am I supposed to say?
You're supposed to say,
that looks different to me. There's something different about your foot. What is it? I swear there's something missing there. I can't put my toe and my fingers on it.
I just
felt this is bad enough that this guy made him show him his foot. I wasn't going to prolong things by, hey, tell me the whole story of how that happened.
I don't know what's wrong with you. I would have no resistance at all to ask what is the story behind
this. Of course, I'm dying to know.
This
is the worst football injury ever. I don't know what it was.
Now I got to cut loose.
At this memorial, there's this guy named Tommy. I'll call him Tommy. That's not his real name. He's a cousin of mine. This guy has, I would say, not owned a comb maybe ever in his life. And I thought, well, surely, but he's...
Is Surely it because he's bald?
No, he's got a big shock of hair.
Okay.
But I thought, well, surely at his sister's funeral service, he's going to... Nope, same hair. Just he looked like he slept under a truck. And he's just a character. So a woman said, I'll tell you what kind of a character Tommy is. One time we were out hunting. There were four of us. And Ron, who was Rosie's husband, Ron loved hunting. And so Ron said, look, we're on this ridge. We're trying to look for deer. Susie, I want you at the top, walk along the rim. Then Tommy, you get down about 30 feet lower down the slope and you follow along and then there'll be a third guy who's almost at the bottom. And then I'll be down on the canyon floor on a horse between the four of us. If there's any deer to be spotted, we'll do it. So they do.
Wow.
So they head out and the woman, did I call her Susie?
Mm-hmm.
Susie's looking and she can see Tommy down about 20, 30 feet below her. They're both walking along, otherwise parallel to each other. She continues walking, looking around, and then she looks back and Tommy's not there anymore. But she notices there's a big bush that's kind of moving around a little bit. And so she gets a little closer to the bush and Tommy is in there. And Tommy is squatted down in there and Tommy is doing a number two,
oh,
I guess,
heaven's
is the
sake.
Way to say it. You don't plan on something like that when you're out in the woods, but that's what he was doing. So she said,
well, apparently I've heard that's the best place to do it.
So they all get back. They bivouac back at their camp. They get skunked. They didn't find a deer. And the three of them come back, but not Tommy. Tommy's late. Where's Tommy? Finally, about 20 minutes later, here comes Tommy, and he is fuming. You can tell from several yards away, he is mad. He is very upset. And he walks into the camp, reaches into his back pocket, takes out his checkbook, and slams it down on the table and says, well, that little outing just cost me 5 checks and 2 deposit slips.
Oh, my God.
I was going to save it for our closing joke.
That's very funny.
Okay.
Good old Tommy.
Yeah, good old Tommy.
Good old Tommy.
Don't be nervous. Don't be flustered. Don't be scared. Be prepared.
As you know, we live in an area that has bike trails galore. And these kids, we've noticed this now. There's a hairpin turn. Near our house, and people, especially in the summer, are crashing all the time because the trails are very busy.
You say this all the time, yeah. And I want people to know who are listening, the couple of people that are listening. This is true. I have been there. I have sat upon your porch with either a cup of coffee or a glass of liquor, sometimes both. And this is absolutely true. People come screaming down that hill and they don't know that there's this turn at the very bottom. That was the worst place to put the turn, at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah. We have petitioned the higher ups around here. Put a sign there. Put an air.
Yes.
Tell people to slow down. So I've just done it myself with chalk. I said, slow down, or I maybe should put the opposite. Speed up and go as fast as you can.
And put a skull and crossbones. You need to draw that on there, too, so they know what's
My
coming.
My wife has proposed we nail an old mattress to the tree that's at the bottom of the hill.
That's a good idea.
With a sign. Crash here. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But what we've been noticing lately, this cracks us up. These kids sometimes hurt, sometimes really not. They're embarrassed because they've fallen down. They will lie there. For a long time, their friends have meanwhile pedaled forward, and then at some point they'll go, Jerry, what happened?
I crashed.
And then the kid will get up and he will limp. He'll grab his bike and he can't ride it now because he's limping so bad as his friends are looking at him. But then you see his friends look away and the limp goes away. And then they whip their heads back around. The limp comes back. And they all do it. It's like a thing in a kid's brain to do that.
Yeah.
You want to garner sympathy.
Yeah.
My brother reminded me when we'd get in fights, you know, he could just slap me slightly on the cheek or something like that. And I would always do this. I go, oh, my eye. Oh, my eye. He was nowhere near my eye, but I wanted him to feel like, you're going to be in huge trouble, man, because you just poked out your brother's eye. Wait till mom and dad get home.
Did that ever stop him, or did he just roll his eyes?
You can only get away with those bits every once in a while. Yeah, you can't do it every time. Even my dumb brothers catch on after a while. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
By the way, my wife and I were in a restaurant the other day, and we saw a guy get up, apparently to use the restroom, but he didn't know where the restroom was. And he's wandering around, and we see him go into the kitchen. And then he's gone. And it's a full 10 minutes later, he comes back into the restaurant through the front door.
Wait.
Now, there's another example of, why didn't you go and ask him what happened there?
Yeah.
Did you go pee in the restaurant, or did you go outside on the street? What did you? Again, something we witnessed, and I have no answer for it.
I always have questions. I have questions. Why don't you never get Hey, I know you're going to wrap up with a joke here, but I came across a commercial, and I don't know if you've already played this commercial before.
Maybe who cares? Let's do it
again. Maybe you haven't. But this is it came across a feed one day. Somebody put it up. Old black and white television commercial. This is a 60-second spot for Folgers Instant Coffee. And the actual... advertisement for people who don't know, when you're in the advertising industry, you have a title for whatever the spot's going to be called. And this one is actually called Folgers Instant Coffee, Husband Pleasing Coffee. That's the name of the ad.
Is this a new ad? It's not like from the 50s or anything.
This is from the 1960s.
Oh, 60s. Okay.
Yeah. This is a black and white television ad. I'm going to play this. I don't know if the audio is going to be super good, but I'll do this. But I want to kind of
Can find the ad on play a better audio.
Okay. Well, we'll see here. I want
Regardless.
To make sure. Can you hear? Can you hear?
I don't hear anything right now.
Well, not yet, but I want to stop it as we go, because this needs to be explained in pieces.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So here, we're going to start this ad. Here we go.
Harvey, want anything special for your birthday?
Just a decent cup of coffee.
You're kidding.
I'm serious. Honey, your coffee's undrinkable.
What a dick. What a dick.
You know what? I remember this commercial, believe it or not.
She's so sweet, and she's serving him coffee and says, Harvey, do you want anything special for your birthday? Just a decent cup of coffee. I would have thrown the cup of coffee I was carrying over to him, that I was serving to him. I'd have thrown it in his lap.
And it wouldn't have been cold brewed either, would it?
Exactly. So he just wants a decent cup of coffee, apparently. That's all.
Now, should he be punished for his honesty?
Should
he keep lying to it? He has to keep drinking that terrible coffee.
It's unless he finally,
and finally he has to tell her, I can't drink it anymore. We've been married for 48 years. I cannot drink your coffee anymore.
Yeah. Honey, it's
enough
undrinkable.
Enough.
So here we go. Here, okay. Let's back up a little bit.
All right.
Pretty harsh.
Well, so's your coffee. You know, the girls down at the office make better coffee on their hot plates.
Oh my God.
The girls down at the office make better coffee on their hot plate. Do you have any thoughts around this, Pat?
Well,
I have a lot.
Other than, it seems like he just said her coffee's undrinkable, period.
He did.
I don't think he needs to keep adding layers of venom to the already supercharged remark he made at the start.
And you should, her face has just crumpled. It's just, it's terribly sad. So let's continue.
What's he spending so much time with the girls at the office for? Yeah,
I don't know. But anyway, we're only 17 seconds into this brilliant ad. So here, let's continue on.
Well, see you later.
He goes, well, see you later. He's very upset. So now the next scene, she's talking to her girlfriend next door. So here's she talking to the gal.
And he didn't even kiss me goodbye. You know, if I could just make a decent cup of coffee, I could relax.
So, relax. Why don't you try Instant Folgers? Tastes good as fresh perked.
Good as fresh perked? I'll surprise Harvey for his birthday tonight.
So basically, she's surprising Harvey for his birthday tonight with some Folgers instant coffee. So this begs the question, if Patty walked in to your birthday and said, Pat, I have a surprise for you. And you're like, wait, what? And you're rubbing your hands together.
I did, and
And she says, here you go. And she hands you a cup of coffee and says, surprise. How would you feel?
I guess I'd say, hey, would it kill you to put a little Kahlua in here?
All right. Well, let's see how Harvey reacts. Let's see how Harvey. So now the next scene, they're having dinner. She's got a little birthday cake on the table, a little candle, big carafe of coffee sitting on the table. And she's looking at him expectantly, just kind of, you know, her hands are clasped. She's not sure how this surprise is going to go over, but let's just see.
Hey, great coffee.
It's Instant Folgers. Doesn't it taste good as fresh perked?
Better.
Better than those girls make at the office.
Honey, their coffee can't hold a candle to yours.
Instant Folgers taste good as fresh perked. Try it.
So there you go. So
it has a happy ending.
It has a happy ending.
Yeah.
You know,
That's why I love those old commercials.
I know.
They stand out because they're just jaw-dropping when you listen to them today. No. The world has changed so much.
But has it, though? Has it really changed?
So you're saying those kind of conversations really take place?
I'm sure they do.
See, I do the opposite.
What?
Even if something, my wife is a really good cook, but even if she makes something that's not to my liking, I'll go, oh my God, that's good. That is so good. Oh, man, that's great. I wouldn't criticize her.
You wouldn't say it's good, but it's not as good as the girls at the office make.
Yeah, this lobster thermidor isn't as good as the girls at the office make for lunch.
The girls at the office. Oh my gosh.
Day after day, there are girls at the office, and men will always be men. Don't send him off with your hair still in curlers, you may not see him again.
I had I worked at a bank, as you know, when I was in my 20s before I went into radio. And I was the secretary to the manager. And this was back in the 80s. I was the administrative assistant / secretary. And this guy was a big blowhard, very much a sexist sort of patriarchal jerk, and he always was like swaggering around and trying to show off. And one day he had this really important client sitting at his desk, and he called me over and he said, Lisa, could you get me and Mr. Smith a cup of coffee, please? And I looked at him and I looked at Mr. Smith and I said, sure, would you like some pie with that? And I turned around and walked away and did not get him his coffee. And I,
was that your last day on the job?
I don't remember, but he never asked me to fetch him a cup of coffee again. It was just so really, no, I've got shit to do. Look, I'm doing secretary things. I don't have time to go be your waitress. I'm not your waitress. Go get your own damn coffee.
But you're the assistant. You just said you're the assistant. You're not going to assist him?
I know. It was crazy back then.
It was.
But, yeah.
All right. So, well, let's bring this rather large, udder-filled cow into the barn.
Okay.
I wish I could be happier with this joke, but this is what I got. A shipwrecked man had spent 10 years alone on a desert island. 10 years. Wow. So he was overjoyed when a woman washed ashore one day.
I'll bet.
Tattered and clutching only a small, watertight bag, she was the sole survivor of a pleasure boat that wrecked on the island's coral reef. The man could hardly wait to tell her about his survival for 10 years, surviving by his wits alone for all that time. She said,
"You mean you've been marooned for 10 years?"
"That's right."
"Say, did you used to smoke?"
"Well, yeah, why?"
"Well, I'd be delighted to offer you your first cigarette in 10 years. And with a smile, she pulled one out of her bag.
Oh, yeah.
The guy goes,
"Wow, thanks a lot."
Take a big puff.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question.
Okay.
You didn't happen to be a drinking man, did you?
Well, I've been known to enjoy a glass or two.
He's blowing smoke rings by now.
She said, "Well, here you go."
And she pulls a flask out of her bag. The man was gratefully taking a swig, and the woman blushed.
"Gee, I just realized it's been 10 years since you, you played around, right?"
"Oh, boy."
The guy said,
"Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Have you got a set of golf clubs in that bag?"
Oh, man, really?
See, I told you.
That's where it ended?
Yeah.
Oh, so he was a stupid man.
Yes, he was a stupid man. Let's make that the punchline.
Okay.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. No tea, no tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice. The planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, serving coffee with a crawler. Dunkin' doesn't take a lot of skill. They've got an awful lot of coffee, an awful lot of coffee. Man, they got a gang of coffee in Brazil.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.